All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. We continue our look verse by verse through our Apostle Paul's book of 1 Corinthians. When you look at the way that God put his word together, this chart right here is just the Bible. And anytime we have new people or guests, we just a reminder, what you see in this chart, this is the Bible in visual form. I'm more of a reader. This doesn't do much for me. But I have people contact the ministry and say, Brother Ron, where do you get this chart? I mean, people actually want this big chart. Or I tell them we have small ones, too. And so we're sending them out all the time because there are people who are visual. Other people like to read, like me, and get understanding. But this is the Bible put out in a colorful chart from Genesis to Revelation. When you come to this yellow part here, this is where we live today, the dispensation of God's grace. That's why Paul is here. God had been dealing with one nation, the nation of Israel. The Gentiles are down here on this blue line, way down here. Israel was exalted. But Israel fell and they diminished in the book of Acts. We're going through that book in the first service. And now there's an equality at the foot of the cross. And that's the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And then after we're raptured home, the books of Hebrews through Revelation speak to the Jewish people in the future. And so our job, my job, and Josh is teaching through Paul's book of Ephesians to us, is to teach both messages. We major in Paul's epistle because that doctrine is speaking directly to us and about us. But all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's separate, different teachings. Reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness. And so we're teaching both programs. But my number one job is to teach through Paul's epistles. Now, I mentioned in the first service that the book of 1 Corinthians is an early epistle. Paul's ministry and this diminishing of Israel in the book of Acts and his ministry was over the course of about 30 years. Okay, 30 plus years. God did some things early in Paul's ministry, supernatural signs and wonders and things dealing with the Jewish people. You're going to see it in 1 Corinthians that he didn't do later with Gentiles in Ephesians and Philippians, Colossians. And so we're going to see some things. And one of the things he's going to deal with is this issue of marriage and divorce and remarriage. Because what's interesting about the Corinthian church, there were Jews like Paul who got saved into the body of Christ and they knew the law of Moses. They had understanding from the law. But then there were idol worshiping heathen Gentiles amongst them from Corinth. And it was this mix. As Josh, he did a wonderful job in Ephesians 2 by showing that, Ephesians 3, that the Gentiles might be fellow heirs and of the same body, not just the body of Christ, but like sitting down together at a table and communing. I used the example, and I told Josh he could use this. It was like in the slave days, my ancestors who were slaves and then the Europeans who were masters, it would be like the slaves and masters sitting down together at the table as equals. Now, that didn't happen back then. Well, that's what it was with Jews and Gentiles. The Jews were the clean, the circumcised. The Gentiles were unclean Gentile dogs. And for God to take both, that's why Paul says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. What he's saying is he wants all men, both Jew and Gentile, to see what God is doing by putting Jew and Gentile. He's our peace. Christ is. He had broken down that middle wall of partition, the law and circumcision, and got it out the way, nailing it to the cross. And now we come together. Well, what happens when you have both Jews and Gentiles at Corinth? They got all these questions about how to deal with stuff. And watch what he says. In chapter 7, we already seen this. If you weren't with us, we did why get married? Well, Paul answered that in chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Look there. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me. There was all this confusion. The Jews in the body says it has to be done this way. The Gentile says, no. Paul says, we're not under the law. Paul, we need you to give us some instruction. If we're not under the law, how does God want us to handle things? Verse 1. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now, we saw that touching has to do with the intimacy, the physical act. He's not saying he doesn't want you to get married. He does. We saw that. We understand that later he says for the present distress, there was a lot of persecution going on in that time. Verse 2, nevertheless, to avoid what? Fornication. In its basis, I don't want to say the basis thing of a marriage is to avoid fornication, the physical act. It's to be an outlet for the physical passions that God put in humanity. And to avoid it, verse 2, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. Now, if you weren't with us, get that, because I can't go through all that. And then there's the duty of marriage, right? So then we get down to what happens, God? What happens, Paul, when there are cases where the marriage is not running right? It's not. Somebody has a hard heart, one or both. Somebody's messing up the marriage. It's not. We have this sin. We have this flesh. We wish we both can be great. We ended that by saying the way a marriage is made to run today is he's a grace, Pauline grace believer, the husband. And the wife is a Pauline grace believer. And they both look to the scriptures through Paul to be who they are in Christ. That thing will work. Now, there's compatibility and other things. Who you marry is so important. I do weddings and things, lost people and saved people, especially when they're young. And I want to tell them, look, the person you marry is going to be the greatest decision you ever made outside of trusting Christ. Because you're going to live with this person for the next 30 or 40, 50 years if the Lord tarries. Under the same roof, two people with flesh, okay? Even if you're believers. It matters. And then, God forbid, you bring a child into that relationship who looking to mommy, looking to daddy. And y'all don't work out. They're not saying daddy's a creep. Because mommy thinks so. Or mommy, you know, that girl, that lady. No. They love daddy. They love mommy. And it's going to destroy them. We're going to see that in here. Separation of voice. And so it matters who you marry. You want to make sure only in the Lord, Paul's going to say at the end, you better make sure he's a Pauline grace believer. But what happens if they are and they stop, or we got married before we got saved? Now, I'm a believer and they're not. We're both believers. I learned the grace message. They stay in that church. How to handle all these situations? Paul has the answer. Let's look at it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I wrote this. We saw last time that marriage is one of the four institutions God himself established at creation. The first one was given Adam free will. That's why Adam could sin, because he's made the image of God. God has free will. Adam had free will. God doesn't have to control your will. Love says, I'm going to tell you what I want, and you're going to choose to do what I say because I'm worthy of it. That's how God deals with man. But he doesn't stop you when you want to go against him, like Adam. And then marriage. God created a woman. Woman means taken out of man. So out of man, he brought forth this woman, Eve, gave him. God performed that first marriage ceremony. When I do weddings and I see the woman coming down in white and her father on her father's arm, in my mind, I'm seeing that virgin, that white represents purity. And that father's like God saying, she's been under my authority for 20 plus years. Now, young man, I'm handing my daughter off to you, and you take care of her. That's what Krista's father told me. Every time I see that man, he says, you taking care of my daughter? I say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Three bags full, sir. Yes. Yes, sir. I'm bigger than him, but I mean, just the respect I have, because I know that's that man's daughter. But somebody else is her father, even greater than John Munson. It's God the Father. And she's my sister in the Lord, so that matters. And so that's how I have to look at her. And that's the issue here. So there's this husband and wife, and even lost people. I did lost people's marriages for my wife, friends at her job and stuff. And I go, they don't even understand. I tell them, though, I say marriage didn't come from the mind of man. It come from the mind of God. So that's volition and then marriage and then family. Be fruitful and multiply. So children are involved. We're going to see that today as well, hopefully. If not, we'll get to it next week. And then lastly, government. Now that you have these units of people, but now we have sin, how do you make it so we won't kill each other like Cain and Abel off the earth? Well, you got to put some structure. And yes, it's all messed up because of humanity. Everything in the heaven and earth, the heavens are not clean in his sight. Satan and his angels have destroyed the heavenly places, but they still go before God. They're still held accountable. They still have council meetings. Satan is going to have those positions of authority until God forms the church, the body of Christ, and takes us up there and kicks Satan out. And we take up the heavenly places. Brother Mike and I were talking about Brother Les Feldick, who many of you all know and watch and listen to. We've done conferences with him, Brother Les. And a lot of his shows are old shows. This is 2011. A lot of them from the early 90s and late 90s. And we were talking about how Les thought that the body of Christ would go up to heaven and then come back down. That's what most Christians believe. But a few years back, we had a conference with Brother Les, and I did a study on the heavenly places, and we show how the body of Christ goes and stays up there. And I'm early 30s, Brother Les is 78 years old. He comes, he says, "Ron, can I talk to you?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "All these years I've been teaching, and I've been teaching and thinking that the body of Christ goes up to heaven." He says, "You just confuse me. Why would he take us home up there as a body, even people who are already alive, not just dead people, and then bring us back? But after listening to your study on the heavenly places, I see now what you said." Paul says, "We're going to stay up there and rule and reign up there." That was a man 40 plus years older than me telling me that. And that was his humility. So that's what he's teaching now. He changed his mind on that. Well, that's what the body of Christ is for. And so even though the heavens are unclean, well, God is going to fix that. And even though the earth is unclean with sinners in these positions of authority, Colossians 1, principalities up there and down here, thrones, dominions. One day God is going to put the nation of Israel into these thrones down here, the dominion down here in Christ. But the way he's going to reconcile the heavenly places is through you and me in the body. But until then, they still exist. We got to deal with them. That's where God's grace comes in. Well, look what he says here. He says over here. So those are the four things. Volition, free will. Marriage, family, and human government. And Satan seeks to undermine every one of them. He seeks to bind people to do things against their will. He seeks to destroy marriages. He seeks to destroy families and the family dynamic with husband, wife, and children. And then he seeks to bring anarchy and chaos into the human society. And each of those things, free will, marriage, family, and government, you need to have a society that perpetuates the human race. If you break down any of those things, you're going to destroy humanity. Satan wants to break them down, but God wants them. And the only answer is the Pauline grace message. So let's say you have that family, that marriage now, but either both of the spouses or one of the spouses is being hard-hearted about some things. Is there ever a time, Paul, that we could separate, that we could even divorce? Religion says no. Is that what Paul says, though? Let's read that. Look with me at verse number 5. "Defraud ye not one the other," speaking of the body, "except it be with consent for a time." You need your spouse's permission to not be intimate with them. "That ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer." By the way, we ended there, I believe. I don't know if I took you there, but that issue of fasting and prayer, he's not... I told you, remember, there's Jews there, so their custom was to fast. In what he's talking about, in the Bible, the only time you could keep yourself from your spouse was for a religious purpose. When God was giving the law to Moses and Moses was calling the men of Israel, he says, "Separate yourselves from your wives for 3 days." Don't do that. With David and his army, he says, we have separated ourselves from our wives. They weren't intimate. So it's only for religious purposes, and you need the consent of your spouse today in grace. Verse 5, "And come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency." Incontinency. That issue of incontinency, that has to do with your being burning with lust. Satan wants to use, remember I said he likes to destroy the marriage bond? One of the things he wants to use is being intimate outside of your marriage. Fornication, that type of stuff. Having relationships that destroy the marriage. Okay? That issue of incontinency, Paul mentions that. I'll give you the verse because we don't even have to go there. Paul says that one of the things that's going to be prevalent at the end of our dispensation, he says in 2 Timothy 3, he says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves." And he goes through this list and he says, incontinent. That the norm in the body of Christ would be they would just be taken away, uncleanness with all greediness. And that's our Gentile heathens today. You can look at the church and they're no different than the world. They just kind of put on a show of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And so that incontinency means you burn with lust. Verse 6, "But I speak this by permission and not of commandment." Now, what's that? Some people think that when Paul uses that, he's saying the Lord, really the Lord doesn't want this. Well, that's not true. The fact that it's written down in scripture, all holy writ is given by inspiration of God. Even though it's Paul saying it, God used different men, over 40 different men to communicate his word. They all have different personalities. It's beautiful when I read the book of James. James is the Lord's brother. They are just alike. I could read the Lord's words in the Gospels and read the book of James, and you could tell they were brothers under the same family. They're very similar in how they talk, and they're very close, as like brothers would be. So you can see the different personalities. God allowed Paul to make judgments, wise judgments, even if it was something God himself did not give a specific command. Let me give you an example. He does that. In Job 1 and 2, in 1 Kings 22, God would say, who's going to go down there? So he has all the angels there, his sons. God uses his sons, sonship status. God is sitting there, not like a big bully. He's a judge. He says, you know, he looks around his angels. He says, who's going to persuade Ahab that he go down and die at Ramoth-Gilead? 1 Kings. One angel says something on this end. Another angel says, we can do this, Lord. God thinks about it and says, let's do that right there. He didn't just make them do it. He asked them their opinion. Isn't that interesting? The guy goes to be a lying spirit. It was one of Satan's angels. A lying spirit, not a holy angel. Interesting. God uses that. Interesting. That's why I say don't get mad at the lost politicians, because God can still use that in his providence. And that lying spirit wouldn't have been a lying spirit in the mouth of Ahab's prophets. And he went down thinking it was God's will to go, and he died. And so when you look at this issue, Paul is able to speak for God. Look at verse number 10. And unto the married, I command, yet not I, but who? The Lord. Paul's going to say later in 1 Corinthians 14, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. That's why we listen to Paul. We're following Christ's commands through Paul. As much as a Jew would say, Moses commanded. In fact, this Jew, Messiah, Jesus says, when he healed someone, he says, now go and offer the sacrifice Moses commanded in the temple. Well, Jesus is the one. He's greater than Moses, we've seen in Hebrews. Yes, he's God. But because he submits to the word, he says, Moses said, do it, do it. If Jesus, our Lord, was standing here, he'd say, Paul says to do that because I told him to say that. Now you listen to him. That's what he would say, just like with Moses. So when Paul says in verse number 10, unto the married I command, yet not but the Lord. So what's the difference between verse number 6, but I speak this by permission and not a commandment? Well, in verse number 10, Christ gives a specific command about this issue. In verse number 6, he didn't. There are things that the Bible doesn't specifically address. If God addressed everything, the Bible, my wife and I were watching the news, some goof wrote a 10,000-page book. It was like this. I go, that book is bigger than the Bible. I could put a Bible in my pocket. That guy ain't got more to say than God. He probably does. He's a, you know, some goof intellect. I'll burn them pages. Man, come on. If God can put his word that I can put in my pocket, I ain't. If God dealt with every little tiny issue, no. He wants you to use judgment. Brother Josh was talking about sonship status when he does Romans 8. God wants you to think things through. And so he doesn't have to give you every little thing. He wants you to make wise judgments based on the doctrine. And so that's what Paul is doing. Watch this. And so just because he says, I speak this by, I'm not commanding you this, it's by permission. Verse 6, look at verse 6. But I speak this by permission and not commandment. Who permission did he get to say that? The Lord. The Lord says, Paul, you're my spokesman. You know what he told his apostles to Israel? He says, when two or three are gathered in the midst of thee, there am I with you, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. They could make decisions down here, and God will say, it's bound. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. They operate in his stead. He didn't. God is not a micromanager like a Calvinist might believe. He's making everything happen and all of it. No, he's cool, man. He's so powerful. You do whatever you want. Just know my will. It's going to happen. Just
I got it.
He not. Paul could say, I'm going to tell you this, and I think God wants me to say this, because Paul had wisdom. Look at chapter number 7, verse 12. But to the rest speak I, not the who. All that means, people say, well, Brother Ron, that's Paul, and he's a man, and he's sinful. Look here, man. It's written in Scripture, but when he says not the Lord didn't give a command about this, but I have his wisdom. Let me tell you how he would answer that. Go over to the end of the book. Go to chapter 7, verse 39 and 40. We're going to get here, but I want you to see, just because Paul says, I speak by permission and not a commandment, doesn't mean that's not what the Lord wants you to do. He's telling you the Lord is permitting this. He wrote it down. It's Scripture. It's his will. Verse 39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. The principle from creation, we'll see, when it comes to marriage is, once you get married, you're bound to that marriage, husband and wife. But, you know, that whole death do us part. But if her husband be dead, she is at what? Liberty. She's loose. She's no longer bound to the obligation to be married to whom she will. Now watch this. If he stopped there, myriads of women said, see, I can marry whoever I will. God, no. Only where? In the Lord. Now, he's not just talking about saved. Let me tell you, when Paul, it's not like today, all that matters, Brother Ron, is we're saved. No. He's talking about in the a Pauline grace believer. Marriage could be the highest halls of human happiness when two grace believers are operating in the wisdom of God. But let me tell you, man, if those two spouses aren't operating the way God and Paul say, it could be the highest halls of human happiness, the lowest hell. Your spouse affects your life more than any other person. Your children. Yeah, my little girl is rambunctious. Me and Krista, we running after her. She's our whole life now. But eventually, Jada Lynn, the Lord tarries, God willing, she's going to grow. And I might have to walk her down the aisle and hand her over. I see Lee there. Lee, you're going to have to do that with little Regan, too, one day. We don't like to think about that, us guys, with our daughters, you know. Josh and Michelle. I want to do your daughter's wedding, the Lord, Terry. I'll say I did your parents. I'll be old then. Hey, girl. I say, Josh, bring the girl on down. If the Lord tarries, maybe we do that. But you got to give that girl up. And then Josh and Michelle will be sitting there. Lee and Ashley will be sitting there. Me and Chris will be sitting there. Our daughter gone. So your spouse affects your life. And if your spouse communes with you in these things, like Lee and Ashton, me and Krista, Josh and Michelle, we're blessed. Not every brother or sister has that at our assembly and others. I talk to them all the time. I go to conferences, boy. If you're a preacher at a conference, and especially when they don't have a grace church there, people be waiting on you, boy. They waiting to unload. I say, Krista, here we go. Walk in there. Brother, you know, here you go. Telling me everything. But that's part of the job. I love it. I can minister to them. But a lot of people talk about family, their marriages, man, hurting, their children hurting, you know, the family, the children, parent, their lost loved ones and friends and family. It's a mess when they reject the word of God. I understand. I'm the same boat, man. Well, that's what's going to go on here. Look what he says in verse number 29 at the end. Only in the Lord. Oh, if you're loose from a spouse and you're thinking about getting married and you desire to get married, that's a good thing. You make sure they're a Pauline grace believer. Ask the Lord. He wants that. It may look impossible to look at it that way now. Say, there's no prospects. You mean to tell me if God wants, he's looking up there and saying, really, there's no prospects? You know everything like me? Trust me. He'll provide. God always provides according to his will. Now, look at verse 40. But she is happier, speaking of this woman who's now free from marriage. Now watch this. But she is happier if she so abide, you know, after her husband. Now she's a widow. I'm going to deal with this when we get here. But she's better in this particular case. He's not saying this for every case. There's a present distress going on here. We've already gone through that. Watch this. But she is happier, verse 40, if she so abide after my judgment. After whose judgment? Paul's judgment, his discernment in these things. Paul is the smartest man, not even smart, I want to use that because you could be an intellect and most of them are fools, atheists. Paul is the wisest man that ever lived. You know, you can, I look at Brother Josh, he's young, 20s, or Cody, or one of these young people, or just all our young people. It's different. They don't have life experience. I don't at 38, as many of you are, but what you can have is wisdom. I mean, I have all the knowledge of life. I haven't lived, but I have wisdom from God's word. I can understand and perceive things from God's word. That's more important than just having knowledge. Wisdom is greater than knowledge because wisdom tells you how to apply things and how to be prudent with things. Well, you can have that at 20 something like Josh or teenager like Cody or not our saints. Judgment. They can judge things that are excellent. Verse 40. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Now, as Paul's saying, you know, I don't have the Spirit of God. I might have it living in me, the Holy Spirit. No, he's saying, if you ask me, no, if you ask God, even though he didn't give a specific command about this, the way I commune with the Father and sonship status and know his will, I'm telling you, this is how he would do it. I'm confident that's how God would tell us to do it if he gave the command. That's what Paul is saying. I think the Spirit of God would tell you the same thing if he could, what I'm thinking. This is what God's thinking about. So go back to the beginning of the chapter. So when Paul says, I speak this by permission and not a command, you know, I was thinking about this. I was like, how can I show from Scripture? I won't go there. But in the Middle East, they have what they call a steward. Abraham had a steward named Eliezer. He thought that God would let him be the seed. He and his wife Sarah were old. God had promised them a seed. And he's like, you mean Eliezer? He goes, no, from your own bowels and your own wife's bowels. He's like, I'm old and she old, Lord. He says, trust me, Lord. Trust me, Abraham. In fact, I'm not going to give you one seed. I'm going to go out there and tell the stars. Count the stars. That's how many. That was impossible. You just believed God. It was accounted unto him for righteousness. And God did that. Multiply seed. By the way, of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. He's going to have even more seed, Abraham, the father of many nations. Look what he says here. He says, so Abraham's steward, he could go and make decisions in his master's stead. Abraham tells him, I want you to go and get a wife for my son. Now, Abraham's the type of God, the father there. The steward is the type of the Spirit of God. The son, Isaac, is the type of Lord Jesus Christ. And that spirit went down and went to Abraham's people to find the wife. Abraham wasn't there, but he allowed the steward to operate in his stead. Well, God does that with not only Paul, but you and me who know the rightly divided word. We're to do that. Operate with the Father. Look at verse 7. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7. For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man have his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. Now, what's that? Now, it is clear to me from Scripture that at this time in his life, Paul did not have a wife. But in my own study of things about Pharisees, particular Pharisees of Pharisees, the separated of separated, and you could just look at Jewish law. I mean, they all say these guys were married, man. They were married. Somewhere in between him being Saul, the persecutor, and our apostle Paul, who wrote that, his wife is not around. Now, I'll just speculate. Because I've seen it in our day with men who have wives, whether they were unbelievers or they were in the religious denominational system. I even talked to Brother Jordan, who's been teaching 40 years. He's my pastor from Chicago. He mentions this a lot. A lot of men. OK, so let's say the spouses are married and they're in this denominational church. The rightly divided word comes. Most of the time, the men leave the church, but their wives don't come with them. It's the craziest dynamic. I see it, but brothers see it. Because the women are more emotionally invested in the relationships and all those things, and God put the men. The men think it through. We don't have the, we love the people, but we want women. Is this what we got to be logical and say, no, we're the leaders. And so you want your wife to come. Now, you can't make her. We're going to deal with that. But Brother Jordan said it, so I haven't just seen it. He's seen it in 40 years of teaching the grace message. A lot more men come and leave that stuff and come over, and their wives stay back. And that's hell. That's hell on earth. You, You start learning the grace message and your spouse doesn't. Now, we got women like that, too, but that's few and far between. They come over. That's interesting. They come over. And so what's going on here? Look at verse 7. I would that all men were as myself. So what I think happened with Paul was, as a Jew, he start going from persecuting that way, we saw in Acts, to now believing on that way, the Lord Jesus. And you know what happens when you were a Jew in that day and even today, and you start believing Jesus is the Messiah? Your family has a funeral for you, buddy. A funeral for you. And chances are Paul's wife was the daughter of another Pharisee. So Paul's father, who was a Pharisee, probably had they arranged marriages in the Middle East like that. So I could see two Pharisees making a pact. My son, Saul, is going to marry your daughter, Miriam. He says, yes, sir. They get married. His son, Saul, goes on with this so-called Messiah. And that man says, oh, my dead body, this one. So whether it was the wife's choice or her family's choice, there was so much pressure. The marriage dissolved. I'm telling you. I know it did. Because he had to be. I read everything, this Jewish stuff. These Pharisees were married. Go over to 1 Corinthians 9. Go over a couple of chapters. Paul is going to deal in 1 Corinthians 9. We'll look at it in detail. Two issues. About being able to take a wife. He wasn't like a monk or a priest. He could have a wife. He could have a place to deal with his desires. Because he had a wife, I believe. I'm just speculating, but it's an educated. I think I have the Spirit of the Lord on that one as a Pharisee. Well, at this point in time, he says two things. My life is the ministry. But I can have a wife. My life is the ministry, and you all are supposed to take care of me financially. That's what he's dealing with here, and we'll deal with it in verse number one. Am I not an apostle? I mean, Paul says, and he didn't even say the apostle. He says, of all these apostles, and there were other apostles, secondary ones, aren't I one? Am I not a sent one of Christ? Not only was he a sent one, he was the sent one, the chosen vessel, Acts 9:15. He's being pretty humble right here. Am I not free? And the word free from secular work is what he's talking about in Scripture. Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? He says, I'm getting visions and revelations of the Lord. I mean, you need to listen to me. Y'all haven't seen him. I have. You're not getting visions. I am. Watch this. Are not ye my work in the Lord? I mean, y'all sitting there, y'all at church, you're talking about how blessed you are in Christ. Who you think shared them with you? Acts 17, Paul. He's getting on them because they're not thinking about his apostleship properly, like the church today. I get these emails. Brother Ron, you make too much of Paul. I go, you don't make enough of him. Sin, damn. We don't magnify Paul the man, but his office. I magnify my office, Romans 11:13. No. You're carnal if you don't magnify. The proof of spirituality is this, 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think himself to be a prophet, you speak for God or you're spiritual, you think you know God, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. That was it. And by the way, that's when they had spiritual gifts. Sister Monica, I got to write her back. She says, what's the purpose of the interpreter? And when was it used? And why would they need it? Because weren't they speaking about the Spirit of God? I go, no. When God gave you a gift, he gave it to you. You operated it. Just when your gifts and talents today, you could choose to sit at home today and watch the Bears. That, I wouldn't have got on you about that. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to come to church and use your gifts, your time, treasure, and talents. God blessed you. I tell Krista, 99% of preachers don't teach the Pauline grace message. Those guys are good preachers. I listen to them. They just don't preach the right message. But that's their part in the body. They were gifted by God, as it were, through the Spirit and Word of God, to teach in the body. That's their part. That's what they're going to be judged on. But they're going to lose reward. Paul says it. 1 Corinthians 3. They choose to how they're going to use their gift. Well, the Corinthians were choosing how to exercise their gifts. God had to tell them stuff like this. Don't do it unless there's an interpreter there. Don't everybody do it at once. Do it by course. Like he had to tell them like children. Here's how you do it.
So you weren't, it wasn't just like God would come on you like the people say. No, my gift was speaking in tongues, and I'd get up here and I'd speak it. But sometimes I wouldn't do it right because they didn't do it right. So no, they were free to use it. That's the point. Verse number 2. If I be not an apostle unto others, he says, let's not worry about others. Yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal, the proof of my, you guys are the living proof that I'm an apostle. Because all those gifts that you all not operating properly, that's because I laid hands on you, buddy. I laid hands on you. I'm your apostle. If I'm not nobody else's apostle, even though I am everybody's apostle. Verse 3, mine answer to them that do examine me is this. There were people who was questioning Paul's apostleship. Verse 4, have we not power to eat and to drink? Now, what he means, he's not saying he can't eat or drink. He says on somebody else's dime, you pay for my meals and drink. Verse 5, have we not power to lead about a sister, a what? Wife. By the way, there's a lot in that verse 5. Paul understands that if he's going to have a wife, she's going to be a sister in the Lord. Gentlemen, first thing your wife needs to be is a Pauline Grace sister, member of the body of Christ, as well as other apostles. Okay, so Paul says, look at all the other apostles. They have wives. By the way, look at just some of the brethren in the body or the brethren of the Lord. They got wives. And who? I think he threw that in for the Catholics. I'm just going to say that. God is so funny, man. If Peter was the first pope, and popes and Catholics can't have wives, Peter had a wife. In fact, not just there, but you can go in the Gospels, and Christ actually healed Peter's wife's mother, his mother-in-law. It says it. Peter's not the first pope. He had a wife. He says it right here. Or I only, and Barnabas, verse 6, have we not power to forbear working? And then he goes into, my point is, I am convinced that Paul had a wife. I am convinced that she departed from him when he got saved, when he became a believer in Jesus. That happens even today. Not only so even if they don't part and the husband comes out of the denomination, the wife stays there, her emotions are attached. That's why God put the man in charge spiritually. And if the woman did what God says, submit herself unto her own husband's unto the Lord, she'll put her thinking aside, trust the man she gave her life to, and if he goes into the truth, follow him. Be rescued. He's her savior, Ephesians 5. Brother Josh will cover that. You know who the savior of the body is? Christ. If the body would just listen to the Lord Jesus through Paul, we would have revival. Everybody talking about revival. You're going to have it if you listen to your head, Christ, through Paul, and come to him. But they won't. Just like some wives stay in that denomination. Their husbands are here. Well, look what he says here. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So when he says, verse 7, for I would that all men were even as I myself, he's talking about he's single. Well, I believe Paul was divorced. That's just me. You can believe what you want. You study it up. His wife left him or didn't come. Better yet, she didn't come over to the faith with him. She had the chance. You know, just on a personal note, when I taught my wife the rightly divided word, we had a 7-hour Bible study about 7 years ago. And Krista says, we got to share this with everybody I know, my family. I said, yeah, but they may not. I don't know. We got to share this with Greg Boyd, my pastor. I go, yeah, I contacted Greg. He didn't want it. I shared it with her parents and family. They didn't want it. And so I looked at her one day. I said, now, your family rejects this truth. We got to be together. I'm in it. I mean, I'm in the ministry here. She's like, I'm going with you. I see it. She said, that 7-hour Bible study answered every question I ever had about the contradiction and all that my parents, my father, the teachers in the Evangelical Free Church, they couldn't answer. You gave me the answer in one night. I had a wife there, baby. I had a woman there. The first email I did, because the way we met, I was emailing out to people. She says, I get a response. It was about God's grace. She says, she just was pondering. We talk about God's grace, but it's the same question. When you come from denomination, she goes, but how not to abuse it? You can't be telling people they just that free, because then they saying, I go,
Shall we continue? I broke down Romans 6. She came back. Preach, Brother Ron. I said, there we go, Father, right there. Bam! She getting me. She getting me. She understands my passion. And we've been together. There it is.
So Paul, verse 7, and I would that all men were even of myself. But see, Paul is not a legalist. He's a grace man. He says, I wish in this present distress you would be okay to not have a wife right now. But it's not for everybody. Look what he says. But even but every man has his proper gift of God. You know what Paul is saying? Not everybody is called to singlehood. Some people are. The Lord said, I can't even go through the verses. He would say there are some men who are eunuchs. A eunuch is some man who didn't have a wife. OK, we'd say single, perpetual single. Some men can do that, but some men can't. Some women can be single for life. Some women can't. I know brothers and sisters in Christ who have been married and now they just single or widowed or whatever, and they don't even need to be married. Others have to remarry. We're going to deal with that remarriage in the next session. And so whatever your gift from God, whatever way God made you, abide in that. Paul, I've already seen that Paul was so intoxicated by the Lord Jesus Christ ministry that just like the Lord said, whosoever don't hate wife and husband and mama and father and children, and yea, their own life cannot be my disciple. You have to hate them in comparison to your love for him. That was Paul. When his wife left, I know it hurt, man. But you know what? The Lord gave him something even more stronger than that. That woman abandoned him because he believed God's word. And people abandoned him. But the word of God kept the apostle. And he looked at, he says, you know, the ministry is much more important than even my wife. He might have had children, too, and family. I love them. I wish they would be a part of it. I would give my salvation for the whole entire nation, especially my people. But God, Paul says, but God is worth more than that. Even they abandon him. So he says, every man has his proper gift from God. The reason I'm like this, because I talk to people. And when you learn the grace message and your spouse is in the denomination, I get a lot of people talk. They're hurting. That man or that woman wants nothing more than their spouse to be in this truth with them. But they're not. And so I get a lot of that. I apologize. When one member of the body hurt, I hurt for them. I get a lot of that. They contact me and they're in tears and stuff and it hurts. Verse 8, I say therefore to the unmarried and to widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. Now again, it's for the present distress. And if God gave you the strength to not have a spouse, you're going to use it. He's going to show you how to do it later in the chapter. Verse number 9, but if they cannot contain, if they can't contain their lust, particularly if they've been married and they got used to that companionship and that outlet physically, let them marry. Marry. That's one of the things. It's good to have a local assembly, because where else can you find a spouse? Conferences. Brother Jordan talks about the conferences. He's married so many people over 40 years that have come together at his grace conferences each year. Because here's a single man, he's coming. Here's a single woman, she's coming. You know what they got in common? The Pauline grace message. They start talking. Hey, hey. And they build that bond. They end up getting married. He does it a lot. So, verse 9, but if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to what? Burn. Hey, if you have this desire, it is better to marry than to burn. Now, he tweaks it, though. Go to 1 Timothy 5. It's just not marrying anybody. Particularly, you remember I told you about how usually it's harder for the woman because of her emotions. That's how Satan, that's how God made women. Then you add in sin, you know, and God made men a certain way. Men have a tendency to be too hard and too proud. Not tender enough. Women tend to be too tender. They can be. You know what Paul says about the end time in that same passage I've quoted? He says there are going to be men who creep into houses. And the way they do it now is through television, radio, internet. And they lead captive. He didn't say silly men. He said silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. The way that Satan works, why didn't he go to Adam? Paul says, 1 Timothy 2, for Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. That's a reason Paul says, I suffer not a woman to teach. Because it's much easier for Satan, as he looked at him, says, it's going to be hard for me to get him, but I can get her. I can get her. She keep looking at that tree, talking about how beautiful it is. It's so cute. It's just so cute. And he walks up to her looking good, says, yeah, isn't that tree beautiful? Yay, have God said, really? And she was, yeah, got her. Silly woman laden with sin. Adam was not deceived. Well, that's the issue there. Watch this. 1 Timothy chapter 5, this astounds me. This is about the local assembly in the last days. And when Paul talks to Timothy, he's talking to men like me and Josh, those who teach and preach particularly, but the eldership. And one of the things that's going to be prevalent in the body of Christ is that women are going to be so easily pulled from their faith like nothing. Satan, he does it. I know he's not a Christian, but if I just share God's word with him, I know I can get him. No, he's going to get you. Men aren't as emotional. Our strings aren't tugged like that. He's going to get you. You're going to get your heart into him. He's lost. You're saved. He's going to bring you down. That's what's going to happen. Watch this. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11 is right here. But the younger widows refuse. Here's the women. They had husbands. Now they don't. When he says refuse, he's not kicking them out. He's talking about who to take care of. You take care of the bishop, you take care of those women who are widows indeed, older women. The younger ones, you refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanting. That issue of wax wanting means they begin to feel the impulses of their desires. And the motivation is, I just have to have a man. And the desperation sets in. And yeah, he's not a believer. And yeah, he doesn't listen to Paul, but he's so sweet and cute. I think about him. But honey, he's not in the grace message. I'm all my daughter. I got to watch out. Oh, boy. Oh, my God. No, I'm going to instill some fortitude from God's word. But that's what happens. So watch what happens. Verse 11, but the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against who? Against the Lord Jesus Christ, they will marry. Now, he's not just talking about marrying. He wants them to marry a grace believer to be covered. A woman, chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, we're going to see, she needs that power over here because of the angels. There's this policy of evil to destroy the family through that weaker vessel. But watch this. Verse 12, having damnation. Now, he's not saying they're going to lose their salvation. Damnation is used in they're going to be destroyed. They're going to be incapable of serving God the way he wants because they have cast off their what faith? First faith. These were women who were believers in the faith, operating. But the pull of having that man to the point where they got involved emotionally with somebody they shouldn't, pull them away. Watch this. And then what happens? And withal, they learn to be idle. This is what they're going to learn by going into the world. Wandering from house to house. Notice idle means, you know, you kind of like when you idle your car, it's just sitting there. But it doesn't mean it's not doing anything. They're going to go from house to house. Let me see what she's doing on Facebook. Yeah, I get all the information. Look, girl, what's up going on? You know. That's how you go from house to house today with technology. And not only idle, but what? Tattlers. You know what tattlers is? Gossips. Girl, let me tell you what she did, what he did. God's word, man, it reads us all. Tattlers also, and what? Busybodies. Oh, yeah. The Bible, I studied it up. Busybody means you all up in other people's affairs and businesses. Speaking things which they what? Ought not. That's going to be the thing as a woman starts to
reject the counsel of God's word. She's going to run into that. Verse 14. What's the answer? Now, he just got on them for marrying up in verse 11, but it was who they married. Verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry. Yeah. Bear children. That's what she's created to do outside of being a wife and mother. Guide the house. Get busy doing that. My wife got laid off from her corporate job out of 12 years back in September. And believe me, when people say, oh, how does it feel like you never have to work again? I correct them. She's working. I wish God can give her $200,000 a year. What's she do? Taking care of me and JJ Lynn and the house? I've changed 5 diapers since September. For 13 months, I was Jada Lynn's main thing. I changed 5 a day. When the diaper needs to be changed, I'm in my room. Honey, what you doing?
I'm studying. And God said, I go, you finished with that diaper? Okay, all right, baby. Hey, my little baby.
I'm crazy, y'all. I'm sorry, but I do that. Sorry. Remember, I used to tell you how Krista sweeps. She is so good. She sweeps and uses a little mop. I do like this. I go, Jada Lynn spilled some crackers. I pull the sweeper right under the rug. Krista moves. She moves stuff. She cleans like she moves stuff. Who moves stuff? You finding extra stuff to, man, come on now. I'm crazy. Somebody said, Brother Ron, you're crazy when you're preaching. You just talk on the radio. Yeah, I've got to come. There's a dynamic to preaching. Well, look here. And so this is what happens. Verse 14. So she guides the house. And when she does that, just be who God created her to be, she gives none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. I told the brothers on Thursday, Satan still does that. He goes to these council meetings and says, look at her. Look at him. Look at them. We watch these court shows. I say the Lord is like a defense attorney, honey. Satan is like a prosecutor. Just and the Lord says, Father, yes, they did that. That's true. But they're mine. Remember Calvary. Oh, yeah. The Father says, righteous. Not just innocent. Righteous. Righteous. But Lord, they're sinning. He paid for their sins. But that doesn't keep the adversary from speaking reproachfully. And not just the adversary up there. When they have that lifestyle down here, other women, by the way, ladies, and men too, when you are a Christian, your family, your lost family and friends, yea, even your saved family and friends who you're trying to teach right division to, they're watching you. They want to see, is this stuff you're talking about, this Pauline grace message, this Christ, is it real? And unfortunately, we are. I'm not pointing at this is all of us. We have that ability to allow the adversary to speak reproachfully. Verse 15, for some are already turned aside after who? That makes my heart shudder when I read that. These are believers, believing women in the context. And they just, it's the same thing that Eve did. She listened to him. She started pondering. And she went where he told her to go. She was taken captive by him and his will. And it happens to men, too, who don't rightly divide. So I just want you to kind of see that issue of, go back to chapter number 7, if you will. We got a couple minutes. We're going to have to pick it up next week. But go back to 1 Corinthians 7. This is a huge deal. It is better to marry than to burn. But who you marry is important. That's what he means. Don't burn in lust. If you burn in lust, God will provide for you. Give them time and you got to do the right thing. There are practical things you can do. There's great singles conferences. I know assembly there. Where do they have the Mount Rushmore? Where's that at? There's an assembly in South Dakota. Brothers, Grace Believers, they put on a great singles conference every year. Every year. For single people who know this message, just to meet and greet, right? Okay, verse number 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. So now, the other one he spoke by permission, but this was a direct command from God. Verse 10, let not the wife depart from her husband. Now, why did he start with the wife here? And why when he says, talk about the law, the wife is, because of the dynamic established back here in creation. God created the wife for the man.
It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make unto him an help meet or fit or proper for him. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul's going to say the woman was made for the man. Sometimes we got that backwards. The woman was made for the man. That's what the Bible says. God, Adam was walking around with God before Eve was even on around. He was communing with God. In fact, the whole reason God brought the animals 2x2 and had Adam look at them, he's like, they got partners. Then God gave him Eve. But Eve wasn't even on the scene. Adam was there first. She was made for him, fit him. So he starts with the woman. That's your primary thing. Let not the wife depart from her husband. Good. I'm going to have a cliffhanger the next Sunday. Y'all got to come back to see the rest about that. But, well, in here, look what I said. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away the wife. We'll get to the crux of verses 11 on down next week. If you're here today and you're in that situation that I've been talking about that made me tear up, my heart goes out to you. God's word is strong enough to endure that. And you can still have hope. As long as you know the grace message, there's always hope. And even if you're in it and you have children, we're going to see how it affects the children next week. That's important enough to stay just like that. Now, there are reasons to be separated and divorced we're going to look at next week. There are specific reasons why he'll allow divorce beyond adultery and separation and things like that. We'll look at that next week, okay? All right. If you're here tonight, today, and you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Lord Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, was buried and rose again. Believe that alone by faith. And if you are a believer, as you saw today, our instructions come from Paul. That'll make the word clear, but even the specifics of how to apply it in each life. That's what we're going through. You can be with us, okay? All right, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and life in him. We thank you that we can get into your word and see these things and understand these things by your spirit in us and your word rightly divided, making sense of them. Father, my heart goes out to those who have spouses who aren't with them. There's nothing worse. I mean, that's your spouse. There's a dynamic of Christ in a church we'll look at next week. But so I know we have people like that, brothers and sisters in the Lord like that. Oh, comfort them, Father. For those who are single or widowed or divorced, whatever they desire, may you provide them that proper person, fit and meet in the Pauline grace message for them. And Father, for those of us who are married and our spouses are with us, may we continue to grow in the Pauline grace message together. Wherever we are, wherever the gift of God is in that person's life, wherever they are, may you strengthen it by your grace. We thank you for this time together, Father. As we go forth, may we glorify you in all that we do and not let the adversary speak reproachfully. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.